While you're there, I'll be reading a verse out of the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. For you. You're in Hebrews 9. Let me read Leviticus chapter 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Sundays. We thank you, Lord, we can start every week, every new week in 2023 in the Lord's house on Sunday. We're glad that we're here today. Glad we get to come together and assemble as a church family. And then we're glad on this Sunday, Lord, we can come together at the supper table as we can remember afresh and anew what was done on our behalf. We're grateful for that great truth, that great doctrine. Read about it in the Old Testament and the New Testament thus far. So, Lord, I pray for a few minutes, Lord, that on purpose we would hear, we'd have ears to hear, Lord, and listen. Lord, that you would use me to speak to those ears. And then we pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak to hearts. On this special day, as we think about the gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood on Calvary. Blessed today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Blood plasma is known as whole blood. And it's really an amazing, outstanding medical discovery. We've heard or read that about case after case where individuals were picked up. They were picked up when they were wounded, possibly left for dead, had very little life, if any life left in them. But with the injection of plasma, after a few minutes, they're setting up. After a few minutes, their eyes are open. After a few minutes, they're talking. They're on the road to recovery. Cheryl and I have been pretty consistent long-term blood donors for many years. So shout out to anybody that donates positive A blood. That's the kind of blood I have, which is going to be good blood. And I will tell you that I do not like donating blood. I never like it. I dread to go there. But consistently I go. And I go because of what it does. I'm not sure what all it does, but what they say that it does, then I get to have a part of that. And you already know it, but the reason I don't like to go is because I'm a sissy. I'll just tell you, I'm a sissy. But when it's said and done, I feel so much better. When it's said and done, I'm glad that I got to do it. And when it's said and done, then I'm waiting until the calendar goes so that I can do it again. And so we've been pretty consistent long-term blood donors for that very reason. And because of people like me and possibly many of you that donate blood, literally millions today owe their lives, their physical human lives, to somebody else, to others, who took the time, who simply sacrificed, who maybe dealt with a little discomfort because they donated some blood. For the purpose, nothing in it for us that do that. It's all volunteer. But we do it to help, to restore, to possibly help extend a human physical life. You see, blood is liquid.
And sometimes it's life-saving fluid. Blood donated by human to human extends physical life in some cases. On this fifth Sunday, today is our Lord's Supper service. Today I'd like to speak on the world's greatest blood donor. Just a couple things before we pass the elements out today. Number one, human blood donation only extends physical life. Our blood can't save one's soul. Our blood won't save one's soul. Our blood don't save one's soul, but it does extend, in some cases, health, recovery, life, physically. 4-year-old Billy Mears, a patient at Baylor University Hospital, Dallas, Texas. That hospital donated one pint of blood each day for 227 days to this 4-year-old boy. When the hospital was notified that they were close to depleting their inventory, soon, little Billy's fingers began to swell. 4-year-old boy. Soon he became irritable. 4-year-old boy. Word got out, and volunteers began to show up to donate. And in a few days, Baylor had a new surplus of life extending blood. Just an example of a young boy enjoying extended physical life through the blood of volunteers, the blood of others. You see, human blood donation can extend life, humanly speaking. Just like Billy Mears, Christians can enjoy life, can enjoy abundant life, and can enjoy eternal life through the blood and only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Jesus, the one that has the name above every name, Jesus, the one and only blood donator that not only extends human life, but saves human souls. And only He can do that. The world's greatest blood donor, His donation avails forever for those who put their trust in Him alone. So number one, human blood, as good as it is, as great as it is, as important as it is, simply only extends human physical life. Secondly, eternal life relies on the blood of Christ. We just read it in Hebrews 9:22, our text this morning. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, this is 2023, and so we don't use that word remission much. So the word remission, when it says there can be no remission, the word remission means this. It means the cancellation of a debt. Without the shedding of blood, there is no cancellation of debt. Remission. The word remission means the cancellation of a charge. Without the shedding of blood, there is no cancellation of what we're charged with. The word remission also means this, penalty. Simply means without the shedding of blood, there is no penalty paid for, covered, taken care of. 2,000 years ago, Jesus donated the only thing acceptable in the eyes of a holy and just God, his Father, and the only thing acceptable in all the world was the precious, priceless, special blood of his only Son, his only begotten Son, and it was shed on a place called Calvary, Mount Calvary. So let's be clear, apart from the rapture, Baptists talk about the rapture a lot. Apart from the rapture, that's when Jesus promised to come back. And apart from the rapture, you, me, us, we're going to die. It's inevitable we're going to die apart from the rapture. Nobody receives eternal life apart from the precious blood of Jesus, so we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. In 1 John 1:7, we're in the book of 1 John on Sunday mornings, and so 1 John 1:7, a few months ago, it says, we read, where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, which we haven't got to yet in our study, they were in chapter 4, the last part of chapter 3 and verse 4 for next week. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. You can know it. And you can know it through the shed blood, through the price that was paid, through Christ voluntarily going to the cross and simply shedding his innocent, precious, special blood. You see, the blood of Christ redeems us according to Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Christ cleanses us, according to 1 Corinthians 1:9. The blood of Christ forgives us, according to Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Christ justifies us, according to Romans 5:9. The blood of Christ satisfies, according to Hebrews 13:12. Hey, the blood of Christ brings us nigh to God. It brings us close. There's no separation. It brings us nigh to God. That's in Ephesians 2:10. And it also, the blood of Christ brings peace, Colossians 1:2. I mean, the blood of Christ does so much. And we're talking about his blood today that extends our simply life to eternal life. Now, someone might be here today, and you're hearing me say that, and you're saying, hey, Pastor, hang on. I do the best I can. We're glad you do the best you can. We think everybody will do the best you can, just as long as you don't think you're doing the best you can to get to heaven, because that don't work. Mason rings don't work. Joining a church, it's a good thing. We want you to join a church. We want you to join this church if God leads you here. But hey, that don't work to get you to heaven. Giving financial gifts, oh man, do we want financial gifts? It does not get you to heaven. That's hard for me to say. I mean, it just is. None of that stuff gives us eternal life. Jesus went to the cross. He went to Calvary. He shed his precious blood. The only thing God would accept as the penalty, as the payment to redeem and atone for man's sin was the blood of Christ. And we have to accept that personally. Baptism, as good as it is, don't get you to heaven. It is a step of obedience after your salvation, but it don't have a part of get you to heaven, but it is a step of obedience. Preparing food for the hungry. Preparing food for the needy. Preparing food for families that have deaths like we do so many times. That's a good thing. We're glad. We want people doing that. Hey, doing good deeds. All those things are good, but we've got to be careful and not accept those things and not accept the blood donation of the world's greatest blood donor, the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are good. All these deeds are well and good, but don't meet the requirement. Don't meet the standard. Don't meet the scripture of what it takes to simply inherit and have eternal life. Someone says, well, Brother Don, now hold it. Brother, I'll have you know that not only am I a citizen of this great country, but I'm also a registered voter. I also pay my taxes. I also obey the laws of the land. And I also, for your information, Pastor, am a charter member of the church. Those things are good things. We're for those things. We hope everybody here follows those kind of that pattern. But works, deeds, actions, and bragging and saying, I've done this and I've done that, will not get us to heaven. There has to be a blood done. Whose blood covers? Whose blood pays? Whose blood atones? Whose blood redeems? Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood, he entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what he did. He simply paid the cost. He paid the price. He met the requirement. He did all that was asked of him to do. He gave his life. He shed his blood for you and I. And so because of that, we can simply go to heaven when we die with eternal life. Hey, can I just tell you my testimony as a 10-year-old boy? Just 10. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. On that day, I didn't know it, didn't understand it, didn't know what I was talking about, didn't know then what I'm talking about today. And so, but I just want to be clear with you. On that day, as a 10-year-old boy, I simply received a heavenly blood transfusion. I got my sins forgiven. I received the promise of a new transformed life, abundant life, eternal life. And it was only made possible not because I went forward, not because I shook the preacher's hand, not because I filled out a card, not because I said I'll clean my life up and I'll follow Christ in believer's baptism. I did all those things, but that wasn't the reason. The reason is because by faith I accepted Christ being my substitute, Jesus paying the price that I owed, the debt that I owed that I didn't have to pay. And so he paid the debt he didn't know, and I didn't have to pay that debt. Just by faith, I accepted him. He shed his blood. And because of that, not only has my life been extended, not only is my life abundant, but I have got it marked down, and I can know for a fact and confidence that I'm simply going to have eternal life because of not what I did, but what he did. The third thing I want to say about blood this morning, and the world's greatest blood donor, is number three, the blood must be applied. Mm-hmm. We just read earlier from Exodus chapter 12, to get a lamb. So detailed. It's a picture there of what took place on the night of that 10th plague in Egypt. And on the night of the Egyptian Passover, God told Moses to tell all the Israelites, kill a lamb. Catch the blood in a basin. Take that blood out of that basin and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of your houses. The blood had to be applied. Oh, the blood had already been shed. The innocent animal had already been sacrificed. The blood had already been gathered. But Scripture says the blood has to be applied. Exodus 12 says it best. For I will pass through the land of Egypt, and the blood shall be as a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then it says this, and it says the plague shall not be upon you. The plague was for every house that didn't have the blood applied, for any house that didn't have blood there. Oh, they might have had the basin and they hadn't put it on the doorpost yet, but for any house that didn't have the blood applied, the Bible says the firstborn, think about that, the firstborn, I'm not a firstborn. I was the last one. And so in my house, it'd be my older sister. In my house, the firstborn would be my son. In your house, who's the oldest? In your house, who would that affect? Because the Bible says that the firstborn, Maybe a grandpa was a firstborn. Maybe the mother was a firstborn in her family. Maybe one of the children for sure was a firstborn. Maybe one of the firstborn grandchildren was there on that night. When, if they didn't apply the blood, the Bible says the plague that day for not applying the blood. Oh, they had the lamb. They had the blood. They just never applied it. And the Bible says if it's not applied, when the death angel came through, then the firstborn of every human, the firstborn of every animal would die. And the Bible scholars tell us there was a screech that night. There was a wailing that night. I mean, there was like folks that they heard the cries coming from all over because not my boy, not my grandpa, not my daddy. Hey, hey! Because the blood has to be applied. As important as the blood was to be shed, as important as it was to have the sacrifice unblemished and meet standards, and important it was to simply have the blood gathered properly, follow the protocol to a T, it was worthless if it hadn't been applied. So the death angel, when he came back, could see that. For many years, I sold medicine. I called on doctors and educated them on pharmaceutical medicine. It don't matter how good the medicine was. If the medicine had not been taken, oh, you could have the pamphlet that talked about the medicine. You could have the sample that had it. You might have the prescription right there in the bottle. But hey, that medicine could do nothing unless that medicine had been taken and applied or it was useless. Sunscreen. You go to the beach. The weather turns hot. You go outside. Oh, you got all kinds of sunscreen. But on that day, you didn't apply. On that day, you didn't put it on. On that day, you left it in the medicine cabinet. Don't worry. You're not covered. It has to be applied to work. And the same thing applies with blood donations. You see, all the blood in all the blood banks of the world can't extend a life, can't help a life, can't enhance a life unless the blood has been taken from one person to the next person and simply have been injected into the veins of another. It has to be applied. The same truth applies. Jesus, with Jesus' blood donation, only works, cleanses, forgives, heals, makes whole when the person accepts Christ personally to save. You see, his blood donation only works if we simply realize that we're the ones that he shed the blood for. We're the ones that he paid the price for. We're the ones that he stood in as our substitute. He paid a debt we didn't owe, for the wages of sin is death. And so he paid that. And it only works if we apply that by faith. By God's grace, through our faith, are men brought out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The one and only world's greatest blood donor. It was Jesus himself. He loved you enough to die for you. He loved me enough to die for you. But there's more to it than that. By faith. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. And so we have to simply accept him. Heavenly Father, the message has been clear. Father, the message has been plain. And Father, it's almost sacred ground to talk about. What you did for us on our behalf. We're undeserving. We're unworthy. What you did for us. You did it because you loved us. You did it because you see potential in us. You did it because you wanted to spend eternity with us. And fellowship forever. That's what you did it for. And Father, for that we're thankful. And so, Lord, in just a moment, we're going to come to the supper table. And we're going to relive and remember what you did for us. But right now, Lord, I'd just like to ask that you'd put on the hearts of every single man, woman, boy, and girl here today. And Lord, let us remember the day that we accepted you by faith. Can we nail it down? Do we have a time? Do we understand where we was and when it happened? Because it has to be applied. By faith, we had to accept your gift to be our life. It didn't cost us nothing, but it cost you a whole lot. So Lord, we pray today. Give us clarity. Let us know that we know that we know. And Father, for that, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Hey, let's all stand. Brother Ruben's going to lead us in an invitation. While we're singing, if you don't know, you can know today. You're not sure, or you can be sure today. What about it? John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We're singing about it. Behold the Lamb. Jesus was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And God had it all figured out way back then. Man was going to sin. Someone had to pay his sin debt. Jesus was going to come and do that. And he did it at Calvary 2,000 years ago.
Are you on?
Do you have a testimony that God showed you today that you're here for 9 to 10 years old, got saved?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you?
In the blood
of the Lord Christ.
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments, spotless are they white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you. May be seated.
Praise the Lord, please.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith, by your witness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we breathe of your sacrifice as a sign. Bread of life, and we breathe ever sacrifice as a sign. Around the table of the feast. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to his song. And to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his mind on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come and we will join in the peace of heaven around the table of the king. Around the table.
Truly, so 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's no one here that's perfect. No one here that's flawless. There's no one here that, quote, has arrived. We're here with the common denominator that we've simply accepted Christ as our personal Savior. We trusted him to do what we couldn't do. That's the grounds for partaking of the Lord's Supper. If perchance you're here and you got on against somebody, somebody did something to you and you can't get over it. Now, someone's done something to all of us that was hard to get over, but you got to move forward. But if you're there, then you probably better consider not taking it. If you're here today, and some of the things I mentioned this morning about good deeds, good works, doing the best you can, those are good things. But that's not salvation. The reason we take the Lord's Supper is to remember what he did for us. And not that he just did it for us, but we accepted what he did, and because of that, we're grateful for the privilege of getting to do this and just thank him on our behalf for what he did for us. It's a personal matter. It's a sacred matter. It's a holy matter. And we take it like that. So just a minute. Just let's bow our heads real quick. So just real quick, if you're here today, then 1 John says that if we confess our sins, that don't mean come up here to confess it to me. It don't mean you tell your neighbor. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's the kind of God we serve. We don't have to like bribe him. We don't have to say we'll do better. We just got to simply confess it privately to him and ask him anything in my life, anything I've done, anything I'm not aware of, bring it to mind so I can confess it. And if not, just confess it. Hey, it worked anything I've done. So that's what we have to do. And he's faithful. I mean, every single time you pray that, I pray that. He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And then he goes further, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he forgives you, he forgets that sin. Now, you might not forget it. Someone else might not forget it, but he forgets it. He forgives and he forgives. We can't do that. Humans can't forget. Don't mean we always think about it. It's always on our mind. No, that just means that it's hard for us to forget some things. But see, God's different than he forgives, and when he forgives us of that, he forgets that about us. And there's a lot of people that keep reminding him of stuff he's forgotten. And that's the great God we serve. Knowing that he gave his life and gave his blood so we could have life
life abundantly and eternal life. He did that so we could simply have our sins forgiven, have peace. And so that's what we have to do. So you got to examine yourself. That's it. So let me pray for us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, in that name that's above every name. We pray, Father, that if that what 1 John 1:9 says, Lord, we ask you if we're guilty. We ask you if we've sinned. We ask you when we sin. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. And Lord, to cleanse us. And Lord, to help us to have peace and victory over that because of what you did for us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. For our men will come. Guilt on our behalf. Father, as we hold that until we partake of it, help us to be thankful and grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give him thanks. He broke it and said, take eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup
is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the memories of me. So we've done as our Lord commanded. I bless you. We pray for you and yours. And Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this ordinance. Thank you for this memorial. Lord, help us to never forget what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.